Well, there was a family that was leaving worship services, and the mom and dad started to complain about the worship service. They were saying the music was bad, and the sermon was dry, and it was long, and the room was cold, and a little boy in the back seat, as they were driving out of the parking lot, said, I don't know. I thought it was a pretty good show for a dollar. Some of you are going to get that on your way home today. It is true that, especially in our society today, in our culture, that selfishness and greed, it's contagious. But one of the things we want to say today is, so is generosity. In fact, one of the things that we didn't tell you, when our Bible Land team presented to our children this opportunity to build a home in Guatemala for Candelaria in memory of Carol Heil, there was a little boy, a little first grade boy. His name's Clayton. Raised his hand. Clayton, do you have a question? Yeah. Why not build two? So word got around of Clayton's generous question. And I heard just this past week that somebody has already committed to making up the difference to what they raised today so that they can build not one house in Guatemala, but two. Yeah. I'm just telling you, generosity is contagious. Now, we titled this series, The Spirit of Christmas, but we're really talking about the Spirit of Christ. Because the Spirit of Christmas, for some, it comes and goes once a year. But the Spirit of Christ, it continues to give because it is the Spirit of Christ within a heart that is shaping the heart. And so today, we're talking about radical generosity, the radical generosity that God has shown us and what that means for us to be able to reflect that generosity to others. Generosity is contagious. It certainly was for a group of stargazers that came from the east a couple thousand years ago. Some call them magi and some call them wise men. We're going to be looking at their story today in Matthew chapter 2. Their story begins like this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now, these are the wise men. You will see them in every manger scene, likely. We've even got wise men on our dining room table right now. Well, actually, we've got two wise men on our table. We can't find the other one. It's like in a box somewhere with those lights that don't work. But so yeah, right now we've got two wise men on our table. But that's okay, because how many wise men came to worship Jesus? We don't know. Now, sometimes we think three, but that's because there were three gifts that were given. And sometimes we sing "We Three Kings," but that's tradition. We don't know how many wise men there were. So I just say that to say it's okay that I only have two wise men on my table right now, I guess. But here's where their story continues. When King Herod heard this, he was, what does that say? Disturbed. Now, this is the Christmas narrative. This is good news, but not for Herod. He's disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Now, Herod is disturbed. Why? Well, did you notice the wise men, they told them, "We have come to seek not just the one who was born, but the one who is born King of the Jews." You see, this didn't sit well with Herod. Why? Because he was supposed to be the king of the Jews. In fact, the Roman Senate had given him that exact title. He was the king of Jews. There was only room for one king of the Jews, and he wanted to be it. And so he was disturbed. But did you notice all Jerusalem was as well? Now, why would all of Jerusalem be disturbed simply because Herod? I mean, obviously, he's not really excited about this prophecy that's saying that there is another ruler coming, a ruler on your turf. But all of Jerusalem is disturbed as well. It's probably because at this point in history, we know a little bit about King Herod through historians and through scripture as well. And what it tells us is that Herod, well, he was a bit paranoid. We'll just put it that way. He was paranoid about his throne. He always was looking over his shoulder, always felt like, you know, someone was trying to take his throne from him, to the point that he had not one, not two, but three of his sons, his own sons, assassinated because he felt like they were a threat to his throne. So why is all of Jerusalem disturbed? Probably because they're thinking, if he would do that to his family, then what will he do now? That these wise men have entered in on their camels with their entourage and they are looking for this ruler. Well, here's what Herod does next. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Now, if you know this story and you know anything about Herod, Herod is only interested in worshiping one person, and that's himself. Herod has no interest in worshiping Jesus. Now, on the other hand, you have these wise men who have traveled so far to come and worship Jesus. You see, they knew the prophecy. They knew the Jewish text. They would have been very familiar with even these Jewish texts. But they were also very familiar with the stars. And all the stars and all their understanding of the prophecy had aligned. And so here's what they do. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were, what does this say? They were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. I want you to see in this text the stark contrast. On one hand, you've got Herod, who is consumed with greed. And on the other hand, you have these wise men consumed with generosity, responding to the radical generosity that God had already put in motion by sending his one and only son. They responded by traveling some 800-900 miles on camel. And they brought gifts, and not just any gifts. You need to understand, they brought extravagant gifts. Gifts that would come into play in financing a lot of the traveling that would take place for Joseph and Mary. God had a plan and he was working it all along. But you start to see the fruit that comes out of these things. And on one hand, you've got Herod, who is consumed with greed, and he brings death to the world. On the other hand, you have these wise men who are consumed with generosity. And they are reflecting that because God has brought joy to the world. So here's our first point. Radical generosity gives joy. Radical generosity gives joy. We tend to see the difference in Herod and what happens and the fruit of that. So I want to ask you, there were two key words. I don't know if you picked up on this, but in the text, two key words. And I want to ask you, what are you experiencing more in your life right now? Disturbed or overjoyed? What would you say you're experiencing more in your life right now? Right here in the midst of the hustle and the bustle of this Christmas season. Which describes you more? Disturbed, on edge, anxious, worried? Or would you say you're experiencing what the wise men experienced, being overjoyed? Fruits of the Spirit. Patience, gentleness, kindness, joy, peace. And here's a second question. What are the people around you? What are the people closest to you experiencing? Did you notice what the people closest to Herod were experiencing? He was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem was as well. But in the case of the wise men, there was joy. What are you experiencing? And what are the people around you experiencing? Because what we see in the life of Herod is that here's the fruit. He was disturbed because he was worshiping self. He didn't see the good news of the prophecy. God was redeeming the world. He was about to make the greatest exchange known to humankind, to exchange righteousness for our sin. And Herod couldn't see it because he was consumed in his own world. All he cared about was his title, his power, his presence, his prestige. The world was revolving around him. He was worshiping self, and this is the fruit. But the wise men, on the other hand, were overjoyed because they had come for one purpose, and that one purpose was worshiping Christ. You see, there's just something that happens in your life when you are not self-centered, but you are others-centered. And that's because God, our Creator, has placed something in our very DNA that resonates with serving others. Brittany Thompson, she is a nurse, on top of being a wife and a mother of five children. And a few years ago, Brittany became aware of a need for nurses to serve as pediatric sexual assault nurse examiners. You can imagine, that is a tough, tough job. But she felt called to it, and she decided to step into that role. And it wasn't long after that that she started to see that there was another need. Because what was happening is that after the forensic interview, after the examinations, these young girls and these young women would have to go, because of lack of good placement options, many of them would have to go right back into the same dark environment that they had left. And so God placed it on Brittany's heart to do something about it. And so she did. In 2020, she founded Retreat for Kids. It is a residential treatment center that specializes in the treatment of child survivors coming out of sex trafficking. We were talking earlier in between services. These are not refugees. These are girls right here. They serve ages from 10 to 17. And so these girls, they're able to come into this home and they're able to find healing. But even more important than that, they're able to come and know the healer. Their goal is complete restoration and complete healing. And for these girls to know the one who brings the healing, and that is Jesus Christ. So she stepped into that. And we found out that they actually have a cap on how many girls that they can serve right now because they don't have adequate transportation. So when we heard that as a leadership, we got to talking and we said, you know what? We think we could probably do something about that. And so here's what we did. We purchased and presented a minivan to Brittany and the Retreat for Kids. And since then, they have recently been able to bring in 4 additional girls into that home just recently. And so this is probably a pretty good opportunity for me to thank all of you who give so regularly, so sacrificially. Thank you for giving. As many times as we say, you're not giving to Oak Hills, you're giving through Oak Hills. This is one of those examples. And we are so thankful for the opportunity that when God presented the opportunity to be able to partner with Retreat for Kids. And we're so proud of Brittany and so proud of the work. In fact, and she and her family are here today. Would you like to meet Brittany and thank her? Brittany, thank you, first of all, so much for being with us, and thank you for the way that you allowed God to grab your heart in the ministry that you're a part of. Is there anything that you'd like to say to the congregation today?
Yes, I'm so honored to be here. We are so thankful and grateful that you were able to help and step up and provide this van for the girls. When some of the people here felt it on their heart to learn a little bit more about us and just for awareness, and they realize that there are children that are waiting on a waiting list, sleeping in the CPS offices, that need a place to go. And they found out as soon as we have the van, we're ready to take 4 more girls. And within days, I had the van, and we have the kids. So we're just so blessed, and thank you so much for helping us.
And we're, yes, come on, we can. We're also pretty excited as we take our, what we're calling our radical generosity offering today to be able to meet another need, because we heard you have a need for a security fence as well. And so we're hoping that we would get to participate in that as well. But we really are just so grateful for what you're doing and just grateful for the opportunity to get to partner with you in this. Can we pray for you?
Yes, thank you.
Father, we ask a blessing upon Brittany, her staff, and her volunteers, and we ask a special blessing upon these girls. Father, we ask that you would give them strength every day, that you would make the day-to-day operations smooth, but that you would just fill that home with your Spirit, that there would just be a healing presence, the Spirit of the living God among them, that there would be healing and that there would be glory that would be given to you. Father, we pray a blessing on them in the days ahead, and we thank you so much for the work that you are doing through them. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Church, one more time, can we thank Brittany? Thank you for being with us. God bless you. Wow. You see, generosity, it just has a way of being contagious. And generosity, radical generosity, gives joy. But what we just heard, number 2, radical generosity, it changes lives. Radical generosity changes lives. For generations. Generosity is generational. And should it surprise us? Because we worship the God who has said, I am. He has said, I am the defender of the weak. I am the defender of the powerless. I am the defender of the vulnerable. So should it surprise us when he steps in and he takes care of them? And should it surprise us that as Jesus' followers, what he is doing is he's allowing us to participate in what he's about? He's already said, I'm going to make the wrong things right. By the way, I've got some followers that I would like to include. And sometimes that's with our time. Sometimes we step in with our time. And I can't imagine how much time Brittany and her staff and all those volunteers have given. Sometimes it's with our giftedness. God has given us a gift and we say, well, I can do something. I can use the spiritual gifts that God's given me. And sometimes it's our money. Sometimes it's giving financially to be able to make a difference. When you are generous, you put yourself in the flow of God's redemptive activity. God's story is about redeeming what has been lost. And when you're generous, you participate in that. Now, speaking of participating, in the spirit of first grader Clayton, we got to thinking, we know how much transportation means and how much of a difference it makes in the lives of people who have significant needs. And so in the spirit of Clayton, we said, why not two? I want you to see Darian's story.
Hey, Darian, glad you could be here.
I'm glad to be here.
And I just am amazed by the story, your story, just overcoming so much in your life. You know, we met, what was it, like a couple, 3 years ago at a food distribution. You were walking across the parking lot. You had a couple of lattes from Starbucks, and you had a key in your hand. You weren't coming for food. Will you tell us why you were coming to Oak Hills that day to that food distribution?
I was having a little bit of challenges in my life, and this family that I know was going through a troubling time, and one of the things was getting their kid to school. Mm. God was just working into me and telling me to, like, this is the perfect opportunity to be able to bless somebody. I was dealt a good opportunity to be able to get a car.
Yeah.
So I was able to bless her with a vehicle so she her kid don't have to miss school.
Yeah, that's amazing. So why did you give away that car that day?
The reason I gave away that car is because, first off, it's God's money that he blessed me with, but also I've been dealt so many second chances in life to still be here today.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. So I know you were shot at one point, and now that's why you're driving Uber, right? And that's your business. Tell us a little bit about that and some of the challenges with your Uber business.
Because during that moment when I got shot, I lost my job. I couldn't work anymore. I couldn't stand up. So I had to find a different way of bringing income in to support myself and to support that big emergency bill that I had.
But then you've had the additional challenge of not having a reliable car. Right, and so you've had to actually rent cars at times, and
back and forth.
How's that been?
A lot of difficulties with cars. You know, like through the process of being an Uber driver, like before coming back to church, and I had car totals, like one car total every year. One of the things that brought me back to church was I needed to start over.
Yeah, we're really proud of you. You live a life of radical generosity. We see that you're an example of that, and as your church. We want to bless you, and we're going to do that. We're going to give you a car, brother. We're going to give you a car today for your business so you can continue to reach your goals. These are the keys. Come on, man.
Wow.
For warranty. Wow. For your business.
Something I always told myself, this is what I wanted to get. Eventually, that's gonna, you know, help me free up flexibility so I can give back more.
Yeah.
And look what God's doing.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you.
Proud of you, man.
Oh. I'm already starting problems.
That's perfect.
And again, we just remember what it is that we're applauding right now. And it's not, hey, look at what we've done. Darian said it. He said, look at what God is doing. Look at what God is doing. This is his activity. The generosity, when your heart stirs to be generous and to make a difference in the lives of others, that is the Holy Spirit stirring in our hearts. Look at what God is doing. We've called this series The Spirit of Christmas. But sometimes we think of the spirit of Christmas as being seasonal. It comes and it goes once a year. But we're talking about the Spirit of Christ. His Spirit does not come and go. It actually dwells. It makes its home in a heart that is receptive to him. So I want to ask you, is your heart receptive to him and what he wants to do? Because what we are responding to is God's radical generosity when he gave his one and only son. And he gave the boy that was born king of the Jews, fulfilling all the prophecy, growing to become a man, living a perfect life, and then exchanging his righteousness, giving his righteousness to us and taking on our sin upon himself. That's what we're celebrating today. A couple thousand years ago, he brought joy to the world. And through generosity, he's still doing it. Now, for those of you who are filling out your sermon notes, I don't want to leave this one out. So number three, radical generosity transforms the blessed to become a blessing. Are you seeing a theme? Generosity is contagious because what God does is he transforms us. And sometimes it doesn't happen just overnight, but it happens day by day and it happens moment by moment as he continues to shape our heart and continues to transform us. So that all of a sudden we're doing what we couldn't do. And we're thinking the thoughts of God that we couldn't think before. That's what he does in a heart that is receptive to him.